Welcome back to another episode of Peaceful Homebirth. I'm so excited to share this fun interview with you today. My guest comes on to share her stories, including two natural hospital births, turn unassisted birth with a crazy turn of events. So you're going to want to make sure you stick around and hear how it all turned out. It was amazing. But before I introduce my special guest, I want to make sure that you know you're invited to the virtual Women's Circle event happening in a private Zoom room tomorrow, March 22nd at 2 p.m. Central Time. This month, our theme is overcoming fear, and it's going to be powerful. Whenever women gather around a common goal, there's something powerful that just takes place, and you're not going to want to miss out on it. So make sure you scroll down to the show notes. Find the link to RSVP right now. All right, tell me, you're listening to the show right now, right? Because you're trying to find the secret of having the confidence to pursue your dream to home birth, right? Well, you think if you just learn the right breathing techniques, the right positions, hire the right people, you're going to be okay. Those nagging doubts of how will I be able to handle labor, or what if something happens and I fail? Are consuming you. They're keeping you from experiencing joy in this pregnancy. So, if this is you, make sure you sign up for a free birth strategy session. It's no cost to you. There are limited spots available, so make sure you hurry and grab yours now. Go to bit.ly/birth strategy. All right, my special guest today is a wife, homeschooling mama to five, doula, and co-host of the Natural Birth Talk podcast. Rachel comes on and shares her stories with us today, including a precipitous unassisted home birth. It is going to be amazing. I just loved hearing her tell these stories, and it was so fun. So make sure you stick around to the very end of the show. Something crazy happened, and her instincts popped, came on, and really helped her out in that situation. And it's something that so many women fear. But our instincts and our intuition are so powerful. So I cannot wait to share this episode with you today. You're going to love hearing her story. I just know it. So let's hop right in. Welcome to the Peaceful Home Birth Podcast, where your journey to a joyful and empowered birth experience begins. I'm your host, Allie McLean, a registered nurse, home birth coach, devoted wife, and proud mother to four incredible kiddos. I've walked the path from trauma to triumph, and I'm here to guide you every step of the way. At the Peaceful Home Birth Podcast, we're more than just a show. We're a community of dreamers, believers, and fearless mothers to be. If you're seeking to reclaim your birth story, to transform fear into confidence, and to embrace the beauty of home birth, you've found your tribe. My own transformative journey began with a traumatic C-section, propelling me on a quest to uncover the power of home birth. And now I'm on a mission to help you rise above your past, prevent needless C-sections, and stand firmly in the certainty of your dream birth. As a devoted follower of Jesus, I believe that his divine design for birth is inherently good. It is a reflection of his love, strength, and grace. If the dream of home birth has been planted on your heart, know that it's there for a purpose, and I'm here to stand with you as you pursue it wholeheartedly. In a world filled with racing thoughts and doubts, I'm your guide to taking those thoughts captive, making them obedient to Christ, and replacing them with the liberating truth. Together, we'll navigate the challenges that lie ahead, finding not only freedom, but also unbridled joy on your path to motherhood. This podcast is a haven for the woman who has faced the darkness of a traumatic birth and has questioned whether home birth is within her reach. Here we shatter those doubts. Join us for illuminating interviews with remarkable birth workers who share our reverence for the sanctity and splendor of birth. Listen to inspiring women as they recount their triumphant birth stories, each a testament to the strength that resides within you. So whether you're just starting to explore the world of home birth, or you're already on this radiant journey, the Peaceful Home Birth Podcast is your sanctuary, your wellspring of knowledge, and your unwavering support system. Get ready to be inspired, to be empowered, and to embark on a path that leads you to the birth you've always dreamed of.
It's time to experience the Holy Spirit's power, to embrace the beauty of birth, and to create a legacy of love and strength. Are you ready to transform your birth experience? Let's dive in.
Hi, Rachel. Thanks for coming on the show today. I'm so excited to have you share your story. It's going to be so amazing. And before we get into your story, would you just do a quick introduction? Let us know who we're talking to today.
Sure. Allie, thank you so much for having me. I'm super excited. I love sharing my home birth story because it's a little crazy. I'm a homeschooling mama of five. So three of them I birthed naturally, and then two of them my husband and I adopted. So we have a really fun family dynamic over here.
Yes, that's awesome. And you're a birth worker too, right?
Yes. Oh, right. Yeah. So I'm a birth doula, a childbirth educator, and I have like an online self-paced class and my own podcast, The Natural Birth Talk. So
yes, I love it so much. And I think it's fun talking to birth workers because we have our own little perspective on birth. And then especially when you like have your own class and you have your podcast, like birth is so deeply embedded into who we are that their story just is so powerful. So I'm really excited to hear like what led you to be so in love with birth and so passionate enough to like teach other women how to do it naturally. So I know your story is going to be so powerful. So wherever you want to start your story, feel free.
Okay. So, I mean, ultimately most of my motivation and this kind of guidance and this pull towards birth work, I definitely say comes from God. It was what he wanted me to do. And, I guess really it started, oh my gosh, I cannot believe I'm about to say this, over 13 years ago when I was pregnant with my first.
Wow.
He literally, at the time of this recording, he literally turns 13 in less than a week and I'm like dying. but when I was pregnant with him, I had a lot of other friends. I had at least one other friend, but really a couple other people who were pregnant or trying to become pregnant. And we were all kind of on the same boat of like, we want to have a natural birth. And so I just started researching. And I did not take a class because me and my infinite 21-year-old wisdom knew everything. And was like, I don't need a class. I have done my own research. Fast forward to the birth itself. And I am like hitting transition, which I didn't even know was transition. And I'm like, I know nothing.
Wow.
I know nothing. Right. Very humbling experience. But I had a very quick labor for a first labor. So it was 12 hours from I think I might be having contractions to my baby is here. So for a first labor, that's pretty quick. And I really owe a lot of the success of that pregnancy and birth to my midwife, which is funny because I didn't even know I had a midwife. It was just the person I had been seeing since I was 16.
What?
Yeah, I kid you not. Like, it was very like.
So when faithful. Did you... When did you figure out you had a midwife?
That is such a, I really don't know the answer to that. It might have been my second pregnancy that I realized, like, oh, she's a midwife.
Oh my gosh, that is so funny.
She was incredible.
Also, that's a good PSA, I guess, for everybody out there. Midwives can do well women care,
yeah,
too.
Absolutely.
I think a lot of people don't realize that, but like midwives are more than just, you know, birth.
And in my opinion, most of them are better at it.
Oh, 100%.
So I had been seeing her since I was 16. Anyway, she was so supportive of my whole plan. I had my natural birth. I'd actually asked for an epidural because I was in a hospital for that one. I had asked for an epidural, but, you know, I was in a small hospital where the anesthesiologist wasn't there 24/7. And it's like 10 o'clock at night. When I've asked for it. So they give me a bag of IV fluids. That actually made me feel better. But I remember being like hunched over. Now I know I was pushing. Then I didn't know I was pushing because, like I said, in all of my 21-year-old infinite wisdom, I had realized that I didn't know anything. And so I'm pushing and I don't realize it. And I look at my nurse and they're like, when am I getting my epidural? And she looks at me with this look of like panic in her face. Like, and she's like, oh, you're not, your midwife's running back in right now.
Oh.
And she came running back in anyway. It's just kind of a funny story. Not totally irrelevant to my home birth, but anyway, she comes running back in. She's not even down at the end of the bed yet. And she's like, push. And I'm like, okay.
So had you gotten any like cervical checks or how was that?
When I look, so yes, I had, when I had gotten to the hospital at 5 or 6 p.m., I was still only 2 centimeters and I had been laboring at home since like 11 a.m. So I was still only like 2 centimeters. So they were super chill. My midwife took an hour to come in. But when she came in, maybe around 8 o'clock that night, she was like, oh, you're 4 centimeters. Do you want me to break your water? And again, that whole thinking I know everything still at this point. I'm like, yeah, sure. That sounds great. And I instantly hit 5 centimeters. And then I hit what felt like literally hitting a brick wall. Like I felt like I ran into a brick wall because those contractions just pounded after that. Like I was coping so well before that. I was talking, I was, you know, doing amazing. And then they just hit me. And I was told 1 hour per centimeter and 1 hour of pushing. I'm sure you've heard that before.
Oh yeah.
Which is completely inaccurate. But at the time I didn't know that. So I'm like, oh my gosh, I have like 6 more hours of this left.
Yeah.
And so I cope for a little bit and then I'm like, I can't. So somewhere in there in my medical records, it says I was getting vaginal exams because I have like an 8 centimeter vaginal exam from like 1 hour after that. I do not remember that. So I don't know if they just marked it down in my medical records to be like doing their job, quote, or if I was just so caught up and everything that I just blocked that part out. Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. So as you're thinking back through that last birth, like what is the one like big lesson or takeaway that you have from that birth that you brought into your next one?
So no matter how much you think you know, you don't know it. Unless you have literally grown up around birth. And the biggest thing for me was that transition. You know, transition is that kind of time in your birth where it's the most intense for most people. But it's also the shortest part for most people. And just realizing that your baby's right on the other side of this. Had I known that I was close as I was to giving birth, I wouldn't have even asked for the epidural. But in my head, I had been told I still had all of these hours left. Anyway, he was born by 11:30 that night. So I was 2 centimeters at 5 or 6 p.m., I was 4 centimeters at 8 p.m. ish. And then I had my first baby at 11:30 p.m.
Yeah. I imagine you felt like you were on a train that would not stop.
Like, absolutely.
Oh my. Yeah,
so
that's fast.
So learned a lot though, is kind of the point of all of that. My second birth was a lot less crazy, but much faster. So that one I used the same midwife. And I had actually asked her about home birth. But she had said, oh, I don't do home births. Insurance is too high. And I was like, oh, that's okay. I wasn't like set on it. I was just kind of curious. And at that time in Illinois where I live, there were not any legally practicing home birth midwives. And so she didn't know of anybody. Now I know there's this like whole underground kind of community. I won't talk too much about that, yeah. But so anyway, but she said, I know I did not like my experience for my first birth, not the birth itself, but my postpartum care, immediate postpartum care, as well as, you know, the entire hospital stay. As soon as my midwife left the hospital, who she was so supportive of all my choices, as soon as she left, I was getting berated by people, pretty much. And, the NICU nurse, or not NICU nurse, I'm sorry, the pediatric nurse specifically was incredibly disrespectful. And so that was a lot of learning too. And that probably is ultimately what lit my fire for wanting to help other women kind of protect their birth space and protect their baby.
Yeah, man.
So anyway, go
was
ahead.
Home birth ever on your radar before your first baby? Or was it just natural birth? Okay, so
just
after
natural
your
birth.
First birth, you're like, wait a minute, I'm not like quite sure I enjoyed that so much, mostly because of the postpartum. So it's interesting. I hear this a lot. It's like people have that kind of written in their hearts of like, I deeply desire a home birth, but then they're very easily talked out of it. Most of the time, it is because they love their current provider. Like, I hear that so often. So kind of, can you talk through like, after you heard that from her, on like, oh yeah, I don't do that. What was your feeling about home birth after that?
I don't really know if I gave it another thought, to be honest. Okay. But she followed that question up with, I know you didn't really love your experience at that specific hospital that you had your first at. She even said, like, I don't really like that hospital either, to be honest. But I attend births at another hospital. And I think you should go check it out. And that other hospital was in a little bit of a sketchy area. So I was a little hesitant. But then she said, I also have a tub at that hospital. And I think you would be perfect for a water birth. And I was like, weird. Because I don't know if I'd really heard of a water birth at this point. Maybe I'd heard of it, but always thought it was weird. But then she said that to me. And I was like, okay, like I trust you. You know, you were not my problem last time. I will go and tour this hospital. And I toured it and I was like, I actually really like this place. And so I basically, with my second, had kind of a birth center experience within this hospital because it was a low volume hospital for birth. And so the nurses were very attentive. And then I had the tub and I birthed in the water. And so overall, it was a much more peaceful experience. And let's see, where was it going? And it was very fast too. So I woke up at 2:30 a.m. with contractions and I had my son at 6:44 a.m. So I have a history of fast labor. I'm fairly certain I have Ehlers-Danlos. So that's kind of like a connective tissue thing. A lot of people with that have faster labors. So I don't know if that's why I had fast labors. My mom also had fast labors. So maybe I just also just kind of made it happen because my mom had fast labor. Yeah. So I was like, I will too.
Yeah. I mean, there is kind of something to say about the history of your mom and even your sister and their length of labor. I was doing some like research on that because I have super long labors and I was always told that, you know, my mom had really long labors, took her forever to get to 5 centimeters. And yeah, the research I saw was pretty consistent with like, yeah, if your mom does, but more so if your sister, which is interesting, like how your sister births has more of an effect on like how you do than your mom.
That's interesting.
But I almost wonder, like, when you hear all these stories and you just start believing like that's just how birth is. I mean, I don't know. That's like full quantum realm. Like, you
but
could
like
go
the
so deep
body,
into that. But the
mind-body
connection,
it's totally. Very real. It is very real. And so that could be a huge factor in it.
Yeah.
And anyway, so I actually, my husband and I were not having any more babies after that second birth. Like, we were having our two, and then we always wanted to adopt. So, like, the plan was, we'll adopt more kids. And so we were foster parents. So I'm going to backpedal, but jump to a different part of that. So a couple of years after my son was born, maybe 3 years or so after my second son was born, that second birth, I had been talking to someone about natural birth again. And someone said to me, you should be a doula. And I was like, what's a doula? And I looked it up and I was like, oh my gosh, I should be a doula. And so that was like I really think where God wanted me to go. So in that time, I had become a doula and I'd learned so much and just my whole, I mean, I already had a very positive view of birth at this point, especially with the way my second birth went. and I already had this like advocating spirit in me when people would tell me things, I'd be like, oh, you don't have to agree to that. Or like, you don't have to get that dating ultrasound. You don't have to get that if you don't want it. And, things like that. And then I just started learning and I just like absorbed it all like a sponge. And I'm like, this is the best thing ever. I love this. And now I'm sure you are too, Allie, like one of those people who's like, you see in the memes where it's like, nobody. And then they're like, do you want to hear about my birth?
Yes.
Or like, so. Let's talk about birth. You know, it's just like, it's, or like me sitting in the corner at a party waiting for someone to want to talk about birth with me.
Yeah. For me, I'm like, I identify with the ones that were like introvert. Unless you want to talk about birth.
Yes. My whole personality changes once somebody mentions birth. And I have to like warn people now. I'm like, I'm going to get on a soapbox here. like I'm letting you know, is this the path you want to go down? Because I'm not going to stop. So, and so it was in that time. So I'm training as a doula and I'm learning to be a doula. And my husband and I became foster parents and started fostering and had over several years and just kind of working as a doula. And there were no plans for more biological children for us. But I always just kind of thought, man, I don't want another baby because this is going to sound so silly. I know I'm a doula, but I don't like babies. And I like holding other people's babies so that I can help mom. I like helping moms, right?
That's girl. We are the same on that. Seriously.
I do not want a baby in my house, right? Like, so I kept thinking like, oh man, I really want another birth experience because I want this home birth and I want this, you know, all these things. I said, but I don't want the baby that comes after it. Mm-hmm. And I would tell people that and they'd be like, you're crazy. Nobody wants the birth without the baby. And I'm like, but I do. And so anyway, we had been fostering for several years and actively preventing pregnancy. And we got pregnant anyway. And I just really, you know, am so grateful that God knows what we need better than we know what we need. And so the one thing, like I cried, I mean, to be honest, and I know that can sound really harsh, but I cried a lot when I found out I was pregnant, but I just kept reminding myself, you get your home birth now, you get your home birth. Isn't that silly?
Well, this is something that with my last baby, I really had to work through too, because I love the birth experience. And just processing like the fact that no matter how the birth turns out, I get the baby at the end. And my husband had to be the one to be like, honey, like maybe the Lord wants to show you what a gift that this baby is. Like, and it does, it sounds so weird for people who like genuinely just love the birth experience. But I mean, I grew up being like, I never want children. Like, I don't like kids. I'll never have babies. And I have four of them that I absolutely love. So it's like, it's funny how the Lord just kind of works on so many things. And he uses birth so many times. So I think that's why we have a heart for women too, is because we see the power of birth. And like, we don't want people to miss out on that sanctification that can come.
Yeah, absolutely. And I used to be, you know, more angry about my first birth, especially the postpartum care, especially about a lot of things. And I've really been able to come to not be angry about it at all, but be quite grateful for it, because it is what kind of lit the fire for me to become a birth worker, lit the fire for me to learn all of these things, and then to be able to go out and help support all of these women and help prevent the same negative outcomes. You know, that I had experienced. And so again, I mean, God is so good. And so that's also what I just kind of kept reminding myself with the third pregnancy was, you know, my husband and I wanted a fourth, but we wanted to adopt our fourth. So we had adopted one, a daughter in that time span between, my last son and me becoming a doula and then this last pregnancy. So we had adopted a little girl in that time. And so that was a whole whirlwind of itself. And in something to bring up mostly irrelevant to your podcast, but I'm sure it might help someone out there, is that even with adoption, you can go through like a postpartum depression type thing.
Oh, yeah.
Or it's not so much postpartum depression, you know, but it's like that adjustment phase where there is a lot of stress and there is a lot of change and there's just like a lot of things happening.
Was she a baby when you adopted her?
No.
How old was she?
So she was almost 5 when she moved in with us. And then we adopted her at like 6 and a half, officially adopted her. Very cool experience. Topic for another time, because I could talk about adoption for a long time as well.
I love that. Yeah. So getting into that home birth story, like, how did that come to be after you're going through all this huge adjustment? I imagine like that is kind of hard switch. And like, how did your husband feel about home birth? Talk a little bit about that.
So my husband is pretty much on board with anything I ever dream. So like all of my little quick crazy whims and things that I want to do, he's like, sure, it's not going to hurt anybody. It's not super expensive. Let's do it. Like, he's super on board with all of that kind of stuff. And so he was all for like a home birth. He thought it was really funny that that was the one thing that kept me positive. Like, when it came to the pregnancy, he had his fingers crossed for a little girl. Because we had our other little girl, but like I said, she was almost 5 by the time we got her. He like wanted that baby girl so badly. Mm-hmm. And I'm over here like, please be another boy. So she was a girl. She is a girl. Yeah. So we did get a girl, which is great, because now my daughter has a sister and I had a sister growing up. So anyway, though, he was on board with everything. And so it was almost not even a question. You know, it wasn't even like, I didn't even have to tell him I was having a home birth. He just knew that that's what we were doing. So cool. You learn so much. Like, I knew a lot with my second son, but I just learned so much more. And I feel like birth is like that. Like, you think you know a lot, but then you're also always learning new things.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. You never stop. You never stop.
Seriously, you know, whether it's new evidence or some ancient tradition you just came across that you're like, actually, that seems like a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
Or just new experiences and stories and just, you know, a new movement to try or something. So getting down to my actual third birth, though, it was wild.
So before you get into that, you had mentioned how that it was kind of, there was no legal midwives at that time. Had that changed where you were? Or like, how did you go about finding a midwife?
Good question. So if I am getting my timeline right, so I was pregnant with my daughter. I was 7 months pregnant when COVID hit. Mm-hmm. Okay. So in January of that year, our state of Illinois, had changed the law from, because it was always legal to be a CNM home birth midwife, a nurse midwife, as long as you had an overseeing obstetrician. So there was just nobody in my area who served my radius legally. In January of that year, so I was 5 months pregnant. I'm pretty sure it was 2020. I might be getting my dates mixed up, so don't quote me, but I'm pretty sure I was 5 months pregnant. Illinois changed the law to CNMs, nurse midwives, are legal. And if you're an advanced practice nurse midwife, so 4,000 hours of care or more, then you don't have to have an overseeing OB. So a home birth practice had actually opened up in our area. However, I still went with an illegal midwife.
I love it. Can you tell why? I'm curious, what made you decide that?
So that is a bit of a story too. So at the time I had contracted with a traditional midwife. So she wasn't a nurse midwife. She wasn't a professional midwife. She was a lay midwife, basically. And I had contracted with her birthing service. So I contracted under her name and would be a doula under her name or whatever. And she had said, for anybody who contracts under me, then all you have to do is pay my assistance fee. You don't have to pay my fee. Long story short, that midwife I would never recommend to anybody. I was like 7 weeks pregnant. It was right after COVID lockdowns happened. And she started asking me for more money. And she started telling me that she didn't even want my kids at my birth. Like my other kids. She just wanted, she said like in an email, me, my husband, a doula, and then her and her assistant. That's all she wanted. And I was like, no. Like, I'm still cool at this point. Like, I understand that it's middle of COVID lockdowns, but anybody who wants to come to my birth can come to my birth. Like, I had it open to my family. It was, I was not afraid of that kind of stuff. So she dropped me.
Wow. Oh, so it was because I was of COVID. Like, she was scared of,
She was scared of COVID and she wanted, she started asking me for more money. And so she dropped me. She had been stressing me out anyway. So I'd honestly toyed with just dropping her and doing an unassisted birth because I'm a doula at that point. I had been to like 50 plus births and I know I have a fast labor. Like I probably was going to have a fast labor and I wasn't afraid of it. And I ended up hiring a different midwife. I'm like 33, 34 weeks pregnant at this point.
Oh, wow.
Like okay. I'm very pregnant. I hired another midwife and another illegal midwife. Because of her postpartum care. And that's something that people don't think about. Mm-hmm. Home birth midwives give way better postpartum care than OBs in a hospital or even a midwife in the hospital. Yeah. Like you get like one or two postpartum visits from a hospital provider. With a home birth provider, with my specific home birth provider, I got 8 postpartum visits.
Wow.
8. Most of them will do like 4 to 6. You know, mine, I had the exception. That's why I hired her. I was like, you're probably not going to make it to my birth, to be honest. But I'm hiring you because I want postpartum care. I want someone to come to my house to check on me, to check on my baby so I don't have to go anywhere. I don't have to take my baby anywhere.
Yeah.
Anyway, so, but back to the original question was that there was a legal provider in my area at that point, but I had also known about the underground midwives at that point also. So.
Yeah. And the care is just a little, well, it's more of the ideology. I think that each kind of carry, like certified nurse midwives definitely have a more medical background.
Yeah.
And lay midwives kind of approach birth in a more, I don't know, I don't know how to
free,
describe it.
Instinctual,
but
you know.
Yes, like, yes. And so yeah. Very much trusting the mother and putting the majority of the responsibility on the mom. And it's a really beautiful, like I definitely see how each one carries something different. And so I think it's important for a mom to kind of determine like, what exactly are you wanting out of a midwife?
Right.
And figuring out like, oh yeah, this aligns more with what I like at this birth. So
yeah. Really and important. For me, I also found like the crunchiest midwife I could find. So she's a professional midwife in Missouri, like right across the river from me. She's legal over there. She just wasn't legal, you know, 20 miles east. So, you know, I really did look for someone who, if I was bleeding too much, I didn't want an automatic shot of Pitocin. I wanted to try herbs. I wanted to try like putting a piece of placenta in my mouth. I wanted to try all these things. And so that was really important to me that, that medications were the last step. I will take it if I absolutely need it, but I want to try these other things, you know?
Yeah.
And so fast forwarding to like the birth itself, I mean, it was crazy. It was so at some point in my pregnancy, my son who was 9 at the time had looked at me and he was like, I'm going to catch the baby. And I was like, okay. So we had done a lot of prep with our kids because it was going to be a family-centered home birth. Like all of our kids were going to be there. They were 6, 7, and 9 at the time. And we had watched a lot of natural birth videos together, so they weren't overwhelmed. They knew a lot of the terms and what to expect anyway, simply because I'm a doula. So it was just stuff that would get talked about sometimes. And so they kind of knew, and I had this whole plan. I had a blow up tub and I was going to set it up downstairs and I had all these candles I was going to put like light up and it was going to be dim and nice and, but quiet because I am not a music type of person in birth. I need everybody to shut up. And my 6-year-old was like, I'm going to swim with you, mom. And so he was like all excited for that. And the day came. And this was my longest pregnancy by 2 weeks. So my first two were born at 38 and a half and 38 weeks. This one was 40 and 3. And I had been getting acupuncture for migraine pain. It wasn't like preeclampsia migraine pain. It was hormonal. And but some of the acupuncture points are the same as induction points for that kind of stuff. But she wasn't hitting all of them. That's not why I was getting it. It was for the migraines. And so the day before I had acupuncture. And then the next day was actually my husband's stepsister's 18th birthday. And so I woke up that morning and I texted his stepmom and I was like, hey, no baby yet. We'll be at the party tonight. And that was maybe like 9 a.m. And 10:30 a.m., I wiped and had just like a little bit of pink on my toilet paper, but I was not contracting yet. And so I was like, okay, interesting. Like I texted my care team, I texted my doulas, just kind of said, hey, heads up, but I'm not contracting. And I went on a walk with my kids and I kind of started contracting on the walk and I called my husband but they were so mild. They were like 30 seconds long, but they were like 2 minutes apart. So they were weird. And I was like, this is weird. And my husband's like, I'm going to come home. And I'm like, you just don't want to come home because you don't want to have to crawl up on that roof today. Like, you just want to come home. You don't want to crawl on the roof. He's like, no, I really think I should come home. And I'm like, you're fine. Stay at work. And so that was maybe like 11:30. And I sat down. I like played a game with my kids. And then I was like, I'm going to go lay down and listen. Like, I think this might actually be labor. I had done some abdominal lift and tucks, if you're familiar with those. Because my contractions were just weird. I was like, what's going on? But also, I really want you to come out. So please come out. And then I went and laid down and was listening to like a YouTube labor induction or like labor, just like a meditation type script. And of course, in this time, I've peed like 6 times. And I finally get up and I'm like, you know, I think I'm like really in labor at this point. And it's maybe like 12:30. Like, I'm definitely in labor. So I start calling people. I call my midwife and she's like, but you're still talking fine. Like, I think you're fine. And I said, a normal person would probably call this painful, but I'm just going to call it uncomfortable. And she was like, call me in a little bit, like check back in. I'm like, okay. At the same time, I'm like sitting on the toilet because, of course, I'm calling people while I'm peeing. And I'm like pushing myself up off the toilet because it's like really uncomfortable. But then I was like, it's fine. You don't have to come yet. So I think in my mind, I don't know if just all the thoughts of an unassisted birth were just, I was fine with her not coming yet, even though I knew she should. I was just like, whatever. Like, I'm not going to argue with you. And so I'm like, this is very uncomfortable. And so I'm on my hands and knees in my bedroom after that. And I call my mom. And I'm like, hey, can you come over? Also pick up ice for my placenta, please. And I called my other friend and I was like, I don't think you need to come yet, but like soon. And I stand up and I just get a pop. And I instantly like ran to the bathroom and like flipped on my shower because my tub was not full. Like I had not set up anything for it to actually be a birth. This is 12:30-ish.
So husband's not home yet either?
My husband's not home yet.
Oh, dear. Okay.
It's only my 6, 7, and 9-year-old. And then the 9-year-old's outside playing with the neighbor. And my water pops. And I, like, rip off my clothes and jump in my shower. And my first thought was, gosh darn it, I have to go through this whole labor with my water broken. And that is going to suck. That was my first thought. And very quickly, I was like, nope. And I called my midwife and I'm like, my water just broke. And I'm like clearly stressed out. Hold on a second. So I call my midwife and I'm like, okay, my water just broke. And she's like, Oh, yeah, I can tell you sound a lot different. Well, if you need any help, and I think she's starting to say, like, call me back if you need help. I hung up on her. I was like, I can't talk to you right now. So I had called my husband, or I had my kids call him maybe or something. Anyway, I texted him and I'm like, hurry.
Oh
so
gosh.
At this point, my my 7-year-old is yelling out the front door, and we live in like a street, like with houses. We don't live in the middle of the country. Like, she's yelling out the front door that my water broke and trying to get the 9-year-old to come inside. And I'm like, I need him. And so, like, the neighbors, so the kid my son is playing with, his mom, I don't remember if I was like, tell her to come inside, or if she peeked her head in and was like, everything okay? And I was like, come here. Because I like, there's no adult home other than me. And I've got the water hitting me, and I'm completely naked in the tub. And the neighbor comes walking in, and this is my personality. It really shows right here. I hand her my phone and I'm like, take pictures.
I love that that's your first. Oh, how close are you with this neighbor? Like, relationally?
I mean, so she's very, very nice. She doesn't live next to us anymore. But I mean, she hadn't lived next to us for too terribly long. But she was very nice. And she did work in a hospital as a cleaning person. So, like, it wasn't like this super, you know, it wasn't a medical field or whatever. But she was comfortable with that kind of stuff for the most part. She was really chill. She had heard my birth stories and natural birth stories from before and loved them, you know.
Did she know you were going to home birth, or did she walk in thinking, oh my gosh, this is an emergency, like I need to call 911? Or
I think she knew. I think she knew, because I think we had talked about it. That is a really good question, though. But I take pictures. I am pushing at this point, and my 9-year-old is in the tub, like, because it's a big, like, garden tub. And he's like, I'm like, you ready to catch? So my husband comes walking in at this point, and she's crowning at this point. Like, she is, like, you can see most of her head. And he comes walking in super chill. And he's like, okay, you call this person, you call it. Cause I had a call tree, you know, you call this person. I'm like, Scott, I'm pushy. I'm pushy. At this, all I could say was, I'm pushy. And he was like, okay, like getting off, you know, giving off things. My daughter's talking on the phone in the bathroom. And I like felt a little bad. I didn't yell at her, but I was like, get out. Cause like, it was the sound. I needed everybody to just shut up. And I'm like, Scott. And he looks down, he's like, oh. I'm like, yes, please. So literally he has walked in 5 minutes before she is born. I at some point someone had called my doulas. I can't remember if it was me or I think it was me. Right before, I don't even know. It was before my water had broken, but they still weren't here yet. And so he totally changes his mindset, and he's like, okay, I'm in the tub. Like, I'm going to help the 9-year-old. Like, okay, great. So I'm feeling, I mean, other than the fact that I'm about to push a baby out of me, I'm feeling pretty great at this point. Cause I'm like, okay, husband's here. Check. 9-year-old's ready to catch. Check. Other kids are here. Check. Somebody's taking pictures. Cause I had a photographer who also didn't make it. I'm like, someone's getting pictures. Check. We're good. And so yeah, within a few minutes, her head was out. And then it got really interesting. So I was pregnant 2 weeks longer with this baby than I was with my others. And her head was out, and I felt this like really weird pressure. And I thought someone was like pulling on her. And I was like, don't touch her. And they're like, we're not touching her. And I was like, okay. So that I don't know if it was instinct or just doula knowledge. I was like, is her head turning? I'm like, somebody answer, but like nobody's answering me. And I'm like, is her head turning? Like, is she resting? Is her head turning? And it was my 9-year-old who answered. He's like, no, mom, it's not. Because my husband's like, I don't know what he's doing, but he's not answering me. So my 9-year-old answered me. He's like, no, it's not. And I'm like, crap, her shoulder's stuck. And all I did It could have been in a hospital had I been on my back. It would have probably been a very severe shoulder dystocia. All I did, I was kind of like on my hands and knees, kind of leaning on the side of the tub. All I did was pick up one leg and like plant the foot instead of being on my knee. I picked up and I planted the foot. And then right away I could feel and can't, I could feel her head turn. And my 9-year-old goes, oh, her head's turning now. And she came right out into my husband's and my 9-year-old son's arms, like without a problem. Really, without any real problem, you know?
Yeah.
And it was very instinctual and it was very amazing. And then about right at that minute, my friend walked in, like right as she was born. And then about 10 minutes later, I think my doula walked in. And 20 minutes later was my midwife. And then 5 or 10 minutes after that was the assistant midwife.
Oh my gosh. I mean, okay, so shoulder dystocia, again, like that is the most scary thing that you hear about at a mm-hmm. hospital. Like most of the time, especially mm-hmm. when you go over your due date, they're just, mm-hmm. they threaten induction because they don't want the baby to get too big and all of this stuff. And I mean, I just talked to somebody the other day where she had experienced a dystocia. And so she was very fearful of having a home birth because of mm-hmm. that. What I think your story does so well is help women realize that when you are not relying on other people to tell you like what's going on, your mm-hmm. instincts kick in. Like absolutely. Your body knows what to do. Your baby is working really hard to get herself out. Like right. your baby is not a helpless part in this process. Right,
they're an active participant.
Exactly, which mm-hmm. is so amazing. And the fact that, yeah, I mean, your birth knowledge probably did help a little bit, but it's like instinctually, you just like could feel what was going on. So many yep. times women are disconnected from
absolutely
their body and they can't feel where their baby is.
Absolutely. And just for timestamp's sake, she was born at 1:08. So 10:30, 9 a.m., I've texted my stepmother or my husband's stepmom that I'm going to be at my stepsister's in-law, whatever, you know, I'm going to be at the party tonight. 10:30 a.m., I wipe with a little bit of pink, but no contractions. No contractions. 1:08 p.m. So I don't know if I said 10:30 a.m. or p.m., but a.m., 10:30 a.m., little bit of pink, 1:08 p.m., 2.5 hours later, my baby is born.
I mean, that's precipitous if I've ever heard.
Very, very precipitous and wild and crazy, but it was also awesome because like I said, I had toyed with an unassisted birth. I was like, I knew instinctually that I did not need a midwife, even with having a small shoulder dystocia. And I still didn't need it. And I mean, I got the postpartum care that I wanted. So it was wild and crazy and awesome.
How was her transition? So
the baby's transition?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, she cried for like a second, like when she came out, because my husband's like holding her in the air like this while I flip over, but she was great. Like I've got a picture of me trying to latch her in the tub because my midwife wasn't there yet. And I was like, I feel fine. I think everything's fine, but we're just going to try to latch just because midwife's not here. And I just want to make sure that placenta is going to be coming and we're not going to have bleeding issues or whatever. And she didn't really latch in the tub, to be honest, but then they got here and my placenta was born, I believe, before they got here. So my husband had a bowl. And so we just put it in the bowl and it was like floating in the tub. They get here and they move me to the bed and we just bring the placenta bowl with us with the baby. And it was a really smooth transition. I don't remember her crying much. One funny bit is that we did cord burning, which you can't do in a hospital, but I had heard about it. And so I was like this ancient tradition and I'm like, let's try it. And so we did cord burning where you, and just for the audience, so you literally like use a candle, an unscented candle, and you burn the umbilical cord off and it doesn't hurt the baby or anything. And it's more sterile than cutting it. And it takes a little bit longer Because it took a little bit longer and we had like open fire in my bedroom, we definitely set off the smoke alarms. Which was something, it was something that I kind of had forgotten about till I was looking back at pictures. And my doula's over there like fanning the smoke alarm in the picture. But I mean, through all of that, like my baby was so chill and everybody was so happy to just see her and hug her. And my room was a total disaster because it had happened so fast. I hadn't had time to clean anything up. But it was just like the best experience because like I just had to move to my bed when I felt like it. And then I got to just stay there and hang out. And people brought me food. Like, my husband's friend's like, what do you want? And I'm like, honestly, I really need a vanilla milkshake right now. And he just brought it to me. And yeah, it was, I was sad for a little bit that I didn't get to use my tub and the whole setup that I had. And one of the first things my 6.5-year-old said after she was born, he stops for a second. He gets this look and he goes, man, I didn't get to swim.
Oh, my goodness.
So I was like, don't worry, buddy. We'll take the pool outside because I just bought like a big kiddie pool. I just bought a big kiddie pool. And I was like, don't worry. You'll get to use it outside.
That is awesome.
Oh, but like for the biggest concern to be not getting to swim after a birth is like awesome. Right? Like in the hospital, just as perfect of a birth. Well, first of all, in the hospital, it would have been a severe shoulder dystocia. No part of me questions that because I would have been stuck on my back probably, or they would have tried to flip me to my back once her arm got stuck. Whereas it was just as simple as moving my leg. She was unstuck without a problem. She was also 1.5 pounds bigger than my other babies. So, you know, that was probably why she had gotten a little bit stuck and the others didn't. But that would have been an issue in the hospital. And then even a perfect birth, they're still like, we got to check your blood pressure. We got to do all these things. We got to check your baby. We got to bother you every 2 hours. We're still really nervous. And they're still nervous. And they're still like looking for these problems. And at home, it was just like, my 6-year-old didn't get to swim. Bummer.
Oh, yeah. No, that's such a good point. And you're in bed. And you're snuggling with your baby skin to skin and not having to get punched in the stomach to make sure you stop bleeding.
It's right.
Like, that's not all. It's not happening. It's so beautiful. I love that. Yeah. I love your story. I think it's so powerful, especially because, I mean, a lot of times women are hoping for and wishing for like a short labor, you know?
Yeah.
And yeah. Do you have anything to say to those women who are like, oh, that sounds amazing. Like, I wish it was that short.
So I won't truly complain about it because it really was wild and great. And I loved that it was unassisted just because that's the birth nerd in me. Like, you know, kind of like sticking it to a hospital. But it took me weeks to process that. For weeks, all I did was replay the birth in my head. And I replayed and replayed and replayed and replayed. And she was probably literally 2 weeks old before I finally stopped constantly replaying her birth in my head. Because it came out of nowhere. It just, when it happens that quickly, it's not bad, but it is overwhelming. Because you're like, okay, I'm contracting, but I'm also trying to manage what else is going on and making sure the right people are here and making sure this is happening. And so, you know, I much rather would have had my second birth where I had like 4 hours just to have just a little bit more time to process it all. You know, yeah. So it's great. It was great. It was beautiful, but you know.
Yeah, it is. It's a lot to process. You made a good point there too. Like, I think birth photography like really, really helps you process. Because you can see timestamps and it just helps you a little bit more. So I'm a huge advocate for birth photography for that reason, or like even setting up a video, like it does help in the weeks to come. And also just talking to somebody about it. Like, helping you process that way. It's so powerful. And yeah, thank you so much for sharing the story. It is amazing and
I know
encouraging for my audience. But if they want to connect with you and learn more about your classes, your podcast, like where can they do that at?
So social media is super easy. It's at The Natural Birth Site on Facebook and Instagram. And then the website is thenaturalbirthsite.com. Super simple, right? And then my podcast is The Natural Birth Talk.
Love it. I will put all of those links in the show notes below. Thanks so much, Rachel, for your time and sharing your story. It really was
Thanks
amazing.
For having me. Thanks for having me. I always love sharing it. So.
I hope you loved today's episode and found it so helpful and encouraging. If you did, would you take 30 seconds to leave a review on Apple Podcasts or send this episode to a friend who has been praying for a peaceful home birth? Lastly, make sure you get my free download of my complete home birth essentials checklist. Make sure you have everything ready to go so you're able to feel at peace and confidence leading into your home birth. This printable checklist has all of the important but less glamorous or thought of items that I have found to be so incredibly helpful to have at a home birth after working with many clients in person. Now, get it by clicking the link in the show notes. And as always, thanks for listening and peace be with you.